الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Inshallah we continue with our series of lectures today Inshallah is the last of them on the qualities of Al-Ibad al-Rahman the special slaves and the special ibad of Ar-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Qur'an described in Surah Al-Furqan 8 different qualities, and we have been through 6 of them. The first one is those who walk on the earth with humility, and if they are addressed by the ignorant, then they simply say salam. They do not reply in kind. And the second one, is that they spend the night in sajda wal qiyam, that they connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they are constantly concerned about their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third one is a natural consequence of the second one, is that they ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection from the jahannam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from jahannam. And the next one, the fourth one, is that they do not commit any shirk, and they do not commit anything that comes under the category of al-fahsha, anything which is shameless, no fornication, no pornography, and so on and so on. I don't have to make a list of that. Anything that comes under that description, they do not do any of that. Now, we come to the next one, which is, they are those who repent and make tawbah and who do good deeds. Now all praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kullu hamdan laka ya Rabbi. That He opened for us the door of tawbah. What would we do if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not given us this door of tawbah? And if all our deeds were accounted for but there was no way to come back from them, what would we do if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give us the door of tawbah? Not only did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the door of tawbah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us that the misfortune, the difficulties, the calamities that fall upon us are the result of our own deeds. And I mentioned this in passing in the last khutbah, so I will go over them very quickly without too much of explanation. First is one of the ayat of Surah Ash-Shura, number 30, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُّصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُ عَن كَثِيرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that all the musibah, misfortune that falls on your head, it is because of what your own hands have earned. The difficulty does not happen. It's not the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not sit there and randomly write something that you, this will happen to you and this loss will happen to you and this accident will happen to you and this death will happen to you. No. What happens to you is a result of your own actions. Some of them are directly related. You can say that this action brought about this. Some of them are not directly related. You cannot see the immediate effect of that. But the action brings about. For example, shirk brings about with it calamities. Now you may not say, well, you know, because of this shirk, this exact thing happened. No. There are some things which are physically visible. Now you might say that, you know, you had an accident because you were driving carelessly or rashly or recklessly. That is immediately visible. But there are other things which are not immediately visible. Shirk is one of the biggest one of them. And the dalil of that again from the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Zahar al fasadu fil barri wal bahri bima kasabat aydin nas liyuziqahum ba'da allazi amilu la'allahum yarji'un. Then Allah said further, next ayah, Qul siru fil ardi fanzuru kayfa kana aqibatu allazina min qabl kanu aktharuhum mushrikun. Aktharuhum mushrikeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned and said that the fasad on the seas and on the land, the difficulties, the trials and tribulations and the calamities are the result of what people do, the amal that come from the hands of people. And why are these results visible in this world? لِيُزِقَهُمْ بَعْذَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا. Allah said so that we can give them a taste, some of the taste of what is to come. So the calamity that happens here is not because, it's not the complete punishment, no. For example, the economic crash, so-called economic crash, clear link between disobeying the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the danger and the hurmat and the fact that riba is haram. You continue to do that, the market crashes. Now you say, oh, this is punishment for, this is not punishment from Allah. This is only a taste of the punishment from Allah. Because what is the actual punishment from Allah for riba? Is the acceptance of the declaration of war with Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa said, the people who deal in riba on the day of judgment, when they stand before the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels will come, the malaika will come, and they will give them swords in their hands. And they will say, here is a weapon, go fight the one whose declaration of war you accepted. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We want to fight Allah and His Nabi on the day of judgment? Or you want the maghfirah of Allah and the shafa'ah of His Nabi? Which one? Make up your minds, people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْزُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ أَخِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Go and travel the earth and see what happened to the people who came before you. Don't travel the earth. Don't go and see these ruins and that ruins and these pyramids and that pyramids as stupid tourists to stand there and just look at them and marvel. No. Go and see them with the eye of ibrat. Go and see what happened to people who had much more than what we had. Much more power and much more wealth and much more authority. Where are they today? Even their name is forgotten. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, go and see. And He says, what is the reason? Aktharuhum mushrikeen. Most of them committed shirk. So the result of the deed is visible directly or indirectly, but the results are related directly to the deeds. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said, now think about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this world a world of cause and effect. You do something, an effect happens. But see the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the same world and the same law which He created, the law of cause and effect, is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Action and reaction are equal and opposite. Who said this? Newton. Allah made the law. Newton discovered it and he spoke it. The law is not Newton's law. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's third law. And Newton just said it. Teach the Quran in the classes of physics. Action and reaction are equal and opposite, except when the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intervenes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then keeps the reaction abey. He keeps the reaction, He delays it for a while. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not immediately allow the reaction to happen. When you do something haram, immediately something does not happen to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His rahmah delays it, gives us the opportunity to make tawbah. What do you say about the Rahim or Rahman fi dunya wal akhirah, who created a world of cause and effect, but in the case of sins He delays the effect to give us an opportunity to make tawbah. And He reminded us and He said, walau yu'akhidullahu an-nasa bima kasabu ma taraka ala zahriha min dabbah walakin yu'akhiruhum ila ajalin musamma فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِعِبَادِهِ بَصِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if Allah were to punish people for what they earn, He would not leave a single living, moving creature on the earth. Very clearly, very clear. Allah says, I have delayed the cause and effect. If I had allowed my own law of cause and effect to operate, every single one of you would have perished. Allah says, not a single moving, living creature would have been on the face of the earth. Allah says, but He gives them respite and He gives them time to an appointed term. And when that term comes, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees everything about His slaves. He showed us the way to regain His pleasure even if we transgressed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَعْفُ عَنِ السَّيِّئَاتِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ وَيَسْتَجِيبُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَيَزِيدُهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَالْكَافِرُونَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ. Allah said, and He it is who accepts the repentance from His slaves. Make tawbah right now, people. I make tawbah and you make tawbah as well. Make tawbah right now because we do not know that whether our death is the next second from today. Make tawbah right now. Nobody who dies expects to die, believe me. Everybody thinks it's a surprise. Oh my God, how did it happen? Same way it happened a million times before. Nothing new about it. Right? Same way. Make tawbah. Allah said, it is He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who accepts repentance from His slaves and forgives sins, and He knows what you do, and He answers the dua of those who believe. Make dua, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from the shaitan and to save us from ourselves. He answers the dua of those who believe and do righteous good deeds, and He gives increase of His bounty. And as for the disbelievers, there will be a severe torment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do you say, O people, for the one who said, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O my ibad, O my slaves, who have transgressed against themselves by sinning and committing evil deeds, do not despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. Truly He is oft forgiving and most merciful. What do you say about this Rabb who said this? And what do you say about this Rabb who was not content with saying this? So He said this also. And He said, Illa man taba wa amana wa amila amalan salihan fa ulaika yubaddilu Allahu sayyiatihim hasanat. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And He said that except for those who repent and believe in Islam and do righteous deeds, the people who repent, what will Allah do? For those, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change their sins into good deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is oft forgiving, most merciful. What do you say to people, despite this who do not worship Allah, despite this who do not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do you say to people, despite this who do not make tawbah? As I always say, getting into Jannah is very easy, getting into Jahannam is very difficult. But we seem to spend our lives making sure that we will end up in the hellfire, and making sure that we will not enter into the Jannah. I remind myself and you not to live our lives like this. To live our lives, and oh, the doors of Jannah are open. Enter them. What is it that prevents you from entering the doors of Jannah? Enter the doors of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us how to enter the doors of Jannah. Very simple. Make tawbah and stop doing the evil that we have become used to doing. That is it. It is not difficult. Despite that, if we still insist on committing the evil that we have become used to committing, then what can anybody say about that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please notice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala followed the condition of repentance by good deeds. Lip service does not apply in Islam. It is not sufficient to say, I am righteous, I love Allah, I love His Nabi. That love which is stated has to be proven by our actions. If that love is not proven by the actions, then that love is not acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the one who says, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah with ikhlas will enter Jannah. The sahaba asked him, they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the ikhlas of the kalima? They said, what is the ikhlas of the kalima? He said, the ikhlas of the kalima is that it prevents you from haram. That it keeps you away from haram. A person who has spoken the kalima, a person who claims to believe in the kalima, for him to commit haram is not possible. He cannot do it, he should not do it. Seventh sign, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, who do not witness falsehood, and if they pass by some evil play or evil talk, they pass by with dignity. This, the quality of Al-Ibadur Rahman, is that they will not stay in a place where the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happening. That they will not do something mindlessly. That they live thoughtfully. They live with the understanding of the consequences of actions. They choose wisely and consciously and pick what is best for the everlasting future. There's no position, my brothers and sisters, in useless and wasteful and thoughtless and futile stuff which distracts, which intoxicates, which makes us forget our Creator and our purpose and our future. Laghv is the term the Quran applies in as a blanket term for everything which comes under this description of something which distracts from the remembrance of Allah, something which is a waste of time, something which has no visible benefit in the dunya or akhirah, and something which leads to something which is haram. Music tops that list. Number one, especially string and wind instruments, and anyone with any understanding of music. May Allah forgive me, I am ahead of you in even these things. I know more than what you know from experience. I make tawbah and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept my tawbah. But you don't even know the first thing about music. And you say it is halal. And I know the last thing about music and I say it is haram. It is haram. If you know music, you know it is haram. Anyone who says he does, if music is not haram, does not know music. He does not even know his deen, but he does not also know music. Because if you knew music, you would never say that music is halal. Music intoxicates. Music takes over your mind. Music makes your feet move when the feet would not have moved. Music makes your fingers tap when the fingers wouldn't have tapped. Music removes the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the zikr of akhira. Music roots you in the present to the beat of the drum and to the playing of the flute. And if you don't believe me, don't even try it because it is haram anyway. Subhanallah, ajeeb. I mean, what kind of life experience have you got? You only eat biryani the whole time and sleep. Think about this. It is haram, haram, haram. For many number of reasons. Read the whole paper on that. There's a whole paper, the text that comes with this khutbah. Read all of that. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Since I've written all of it, you can read it for yourself. But ensure that from this moment onwards, that you stop this rubbish. You stop this rubbish. Listen to the recitation of the Quran. Learn to read the Quran beautifully. What prevents you from learning to read the Quran? Learn to read the Quran. Listen to the recitation of the Quran. Live life thoughtfully. Do not live life thoughtlessly. And remember that anything that leads to thoughtlessness is haram in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ قَاشِعُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the mu'mineen have become successful. They are the ones who have khushu in their salah. And they are the ones who leave the laghwa. Mu'ridun, i'rad, from the laghwa. And as I told you, that includes all of these things. It includes everything which takes your mind away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which includes music, top of the list music. After that, IPL. After that, World Cup football. After that, shall I make the list? Please understand, my brothers and sisters, there is no concept in Islam of a Muslim being witness to wrongdoing. There are many evidences in the Quran. A Muslim cannot be a witness to wrongdoing. What a Muslim is supposed to do when something is happening wrong is to stop it. And if he cannot stop it and he does not have the power to stop it, then he must leave that place. There is no question of the Muslim sitting there and being witness to the wrongdoing and coming out of there and telling the world, you know what happened in that dawat yesterday I went to? They were doing such and such and such. Alright, so what were you doing? You were sitting there and watching it and having fun, and now you are coming and doing something which is even more haram, which is ghibah. So they committed one haram, you are committing two haram. If you were in that place and you were in that party and something was happening which was haram, it was your job to leave. It was your job to stop it. It was your job not even to go there in the first place. So you say, well, you know, I went there because I didn't know what was fine. You didn't know what was happening. But when you went there, you learned what was happening. Now what do? You either stop it or you find that stopping it is not possible, not in your control. Leave that place, walk out of there, not sit there and bear witness. And the next day you come and tell somebody else, oh, you know what they were doing? They were doing this. My brothers and sisters, please understand. The usul of the Quran is very simple. If you are in a place where wrongdoing is happening, well, evil is happening, and you do not do anything about it, and you remain there, then the angels write your name in the list with the same people. No difference. The one doing ghibah and the one listening to ghibah are equal. The one playing music and the one listening to music are equal. The one doing haram of any kind and the one who is witness to that haram is equal. There is no difference in Islam. If you are a Muslim and you went there and you found it happening, it was your job to stop it. If you couldn't stop it, you should have left. If you did not do either of these things, then you are counted among them. I remove myself from them and I remove myself from you because I don't want any part of this. Please understand this very, very clearly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, many other ayat, I'm not going to go into that. All of those are in the text. The one thing which is very clear, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hadith narrated in Bukhari, Tabrani and Bayhaqi. He said, among my ummah, And this is the hadith relating to the last days, the signs of the last days. He said, among my ummah, there will be people who will permit zina, and who will permit the wearing of silk, and who will permit alcohol, and who will permit musical instruments. Four things: zina, silk, alcohol, musical instruments. What is your opinion about zina? Is it halal or haram? Haram, yes? Why are you saying so weakly? You didn't have breakfast. What is it? Halal or haram?
Haram.
Jazakallahu khair. What is your opinion about silk, wearing of silk? Halal or haram?
Haram.
What is your opinion about alcohol? Halal or haram?
Haram.
So how come Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts three haram things and then he puts a halal thing along with that? Is it possible? Does it make sense? Does it make logic? And that's exactly the tafsir, exactly the explanation of this hadith which Ibn al-Qayyim has given. He said, not only is it haram, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this, he combined it with other things which are haram to ensure that we understand that it is haram. And he said this hadith indicates in two ways that that musical instruments and enjoyment of listening to music are haram. The first is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they permit, which means that it was not haram. If Rasulullah did not say, they permit eating of rice, no. Did he say, they permit salah? No, because salah is jais, salah is halal, salah is fard. When he's saying, they will permit, what does it mean? It means that it was otherwise not permitted. And then what did he say? He combined it with things which are clearly haram. So he said, two ways in which, two dala'il, why music is haram is, first, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used the term they permit, and secondly, that musical instruments and music are mentioned alongside things like zina and alcohol, and if they were not haram, they would not have been mentioned alongside this. The references are with Ibn al-Qayyim in Silsila al-Sahiha by Shaykh Nasiruddin al-Albani and in other places. And Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah again, also in Al-Majmu' al-Fatawa, he says the hadith indicates that ma'azif are haram, and ma'azif means musical instruments according to the scholars of the Arabic language, and this word includes all such instruments without any exception. We come to the eighth point of Al-Ibadur Rahman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, these are the people who, when they are reminded of the ayat of the Quran and of their Rabb, these ayat and these reminders do not fall on deaf and blind people. They are not deaf and blind to them. See the beauty of the bayan of the Quran, how sequentially things are mentioned. You make tawbah, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, these are the things to avoid. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that when somebody wants you, you will not turn a deaf ear to that. You will not turn a blind eye to that. You will not take from that warning that which pleases you, and you will not leave out from that warning that which does not please you. This is a sign of nifaq. It is not a sign of iman to do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, among the qualities of the believers, of the mu'minun, in Surah Al-Anfal, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. It is to respond to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a sign of iman, that the heart must shiver with the fear and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of his ayat, of his reminders, and of the warnings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. If to be deaf and blind to the warnings of Allah is a disease of the heart, it's a disease of the hardness of the heart, it is a disease of the dryness of the eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Suratul Muhammad, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Allah said, do they not think deeply and reflect on the Quran, or is it that their hearts have been sealed? Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ ارْتَدُّوا, who have done irtidad, who are murtad, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ ارْتَدُّوا عَلَىٰ أَدْبَارِهِمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْهُدَى الشَّيْطَانُ سَوَّلَ لَهُمْ وَأَمْلَى لَهُمْ. Allah said, verily those who have turned back, who have apostated as disbelievers after the guidance has been manifested to them, shaitan beautified to them in false hopes what they were doing of their actions, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prolonged their term. Subhanallah, this is a sign of the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you are on disobedience and you get more wealth and you get more power and you get a longer life. This is a sign of the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not a sign of something to be happy about. If your wealth is haram, if your actions are haram, and you find that no azab is coming for you just now, beware and be prepared. The azab will come in this dunya and in the akhirah. Read the Quran, Suratul Baqarah, ayah number 80, and make the tafsir of that, understand that. I'm not going to say it here, it's very clear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends warner after warner after warner. But people who continue to deny and deny and deny on the day of judgment, as the angels are driving them to the Jahannam, like they drive cattle, as the angels are driving them to the Jahannam with whips, they will ask them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Suratul Mulk, which we have heard these ayats so many times, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to take ibrat from these ayats. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, تَكَادُ تَمَيَّذُ مِنَ الْغَيْزِ كُلَّمَا أُلْقِيَ فِيهَا فَوْجٌ سَأَلَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ نَذِيرٌ. Did no one come to warn you? قَالُوا بَلَا قَدْ جَاءَنَا نَذِيرٌ. Why not? Of course people came to warn us again and again and again. فَكَذَّبْنَا. But we denied them and we refuted them and we went against them. فَكَذَّبْنَا. وَقُلْنَا مَا نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. And we told them, nothing has come to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are a liar. فَكَذَّبْنَا وَقُلْنَا مَا نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. We told them that you are the one who's misguided. You are the one who's misguided. We are the one on the correct path. And Allah said, وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَوْا أَوْ نَاقِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. And the same people will say, and they will say, had we but listened. Had we but listened, if only we had listened, if only we had understood and obeyed, and if we had used our intelligence, we would not have found ourselves among the dwellers of the hellfire. And then Allah says, فَاعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ. They will make اعتراف of their sins. They will confess their sins. But my brothers and sisters, confessing the sin on the day of judgment is no good. The sin has to be confessed here today. The sin has to be confessed in this life while you still have life. To confess the sin on the day of judgment is no good. And they said that they will confess their sin. And then what does Allah say about them? Allah says, away with them. Away with them. That confession is going to do them no good. They will burn in the hellfire. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you and me from this fate. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes and ears to His hidayat, to the warnings that come to us again and again and again, and stop being deaf and blind to them. Stop being deaf and blind to them. Stop criticizing the people who are showing you the right way with dalail of the Quran and Hadith. Not that it makes a damn of a difference to them. You can criticize for all you're worth. It makes a difference to you. Because then you come under this description of this ayah. فَكَذَّبْنَا وَقُلْنَا مَا نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Last of the qualities of Al-Ibadur Rahman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, these are the people who then make dua. And they say, O our Rabb, bestow on us from our wives and our offspring those who will be a comfort for our eyes, and make them the leaders of, and make us the leaders of the muttaqoon. Subhanallah, see the beautiful dua of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that what is the dua they make? They say, give us a future which will be a legacy of honor. This is the focus of those who know Allah. The Anbiya asked for successors to carry forward their work. Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua for a child for what? Was he leaving behind some estate? Ibrahim alayhi salam lived like a nomad all his life. He was traveling and traveling and traveling. He lived out of a tent his entire life. So what estate was he leaving? Zakaria alayhi salam asked for a son, for someone to carry on his work, and he was given Yahya alayhi salam. For what? Was he leaving behind wealth and dirham and dinar? No. To carry on the work. The only legacy of honor is the legacy of carrying on the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, take ibrat. Take ibrat. We live in a city of palaces. Where are the people who built those palaces? Where are the people who collected things in their lives, which you now pay a fee to go and look at in a museum? Where is the one who collected those things? Subhanallah. Travel the world, all of you, all of us, alhamdulillah, we have traveled the world. We go and see this dynasty, the remains of this dynasty and the remains of that dynasty. Where are those dynasties? We don't even remember their names of those people. How many people, even the Mughal dynasty, which is one of ours here, how many people can even name the first six kings of the Mughal dynasty in the right order? Forget about the rest of them. There were a lot more than six. Where are those people? Where will you be? Where will I be? If the builder of Red Fort is Red Fort to you, but to Shah Jahan it was home. If Shah Jahan said, I'm going home, where was he going? To the Red Fort. He's not going to an apartment in Mahmud Habib apartment. Yeah? When he built it, neither Mahmud nor Habib nor the apartment, nothing was there. Think about this. People who built palaces, who built forts, who built great castles, for them it was home. Where are they? So where will you be and where will I be? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this. And then he says, these are the people who make this dua. رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ فَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَحْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَارْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. The dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he left his wife and his newborn son in the barren valley of Mecca. See the dua of the Nabi. See the sequence of what he is asking. If you and I had to leave our wife and our newborn son, Allah is a great mercy of Allah never even test us for this. SubhanAllah, what would you do? Would you even do it? You would become murtad instantly. La hawla quwwata illa billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Khalilullah is Khalilullah not for nothing. He was also a human being. He was also a man. He also prayed for this son. At the age of 80 years, he gets this son. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the order, go and leave them. No question. He does not say, why, how, can I stay with them, please? No. He says, leave them. Left them. And see the tarbiyah. What does his wife say? She asks her, why are you leaving us? Doesn't say anything. Allah did not tell him, give an explanation. So he just leaves. Then she says, is this a hukam from Allah? He just nods his head. See the tarbiyah, see the iman of that woman, subhanallah, ajib. He says, then go. Because if your Rabb gave this hukam, he will not allow us to perish. He said, go. See, these are the examples of the women that we need to look at, my brothers and sisters. Iman like a mountain. Iman bigger than a mountain. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then when she makes sahih, when she is going from one hill to another hill to look and see what is there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes that so much that he makes this sa'i a rukun of hajj. He makes this sa'i a rukun of umrah. If you go for umrah and you say, I will make tawaf of the Kaaba, and what do I have to do with Hajara? Who was Hajara? His wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam. What is it to me? Why must I go and make sa'i up and down from those hills? Of course, now there's no up and down. You're walking in a nice air-conditioned environment. But supposing you say, I came here for Baitullah, I make tawaf of Kaaba. Khalas, I have done umrah. Have you done umrah? You can make tawaf of Kaaba till the day you drop dead. It will be tawaf. It will not be umrah. To make umrah, you have to do sahih. Rukun of hajj and umrah. Why? Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now that same Ibrahim alayhi salam, same Khalilullah, he has left his wife and child and he's going away. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this scene so beautifully in the Quran. He said when he went to a place where they could not see him, he turned around and he made dua. He did not even make dua in their presence. He did not even stand there and make dua. Think about why is the Quran, Allah has sent the Quran for us to reflect on it. Was it haram for Ibrahim alayhi salam to make dua standing there? Could he not have said, okay, I'm leaving them, I'm going to make dua. Here's my dua for you, this. No. Allah said, leave and go. So I leave and go. Khalas. And then when he leaves and goes, and when he cannot see them and they cannot see him, he turns around and he makes his dua. And see the dua, see the sequence of what he's asking. He said, oh my Rabb, I have made some of my offspring to dwell in the uncultivable valley by your sacred house. in order, O Rabb, that they may establish a salah. First thing, he said, help them and make them establish a salah. And second thing, and then fill the hearts of some people with love for them. The outcome of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that the people will love you. Allah will establish your love in the hearts of people. Why? Because you speak the truth. Because you stand for righteousness. You try to be righteous, you make tawbah, and you invite people towards righteousness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts your love in the hearts of people. He says, I put them there, let them establish salah. Fill the hearts of some people with love for them and provide them with fruits so that they may give thanks. See this dua of the Nabi of Khalilullah. He's asking for fruits in a place where there is not even any water. But this is one of the qualities of dua, that when we ask dua, we don't look at the circumstances, we look at the one who is giving. You look at the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask dua. See the dua of the Anbiya in the Quran. Every single dua is filled with this. Asking for the so-called impossible. Because they recognize their Rabb. They know that for the creator of the heavens and the earth, there is nothing which is impossible. They're not asking dua for what they can see. He's asking for fruits. He doesn't even ask for grain or barley or, you know, he doesn't say, please give her a dry piece of bread at least, let her not die. No, nothing. Fruits. Samarat. In a valley where there is not even a drop of water, where there is no green thing standing, where there is not a blade of grass, he's making the Allah give them fruits. And see the dua of Khalilullah Ibrahim alayhi salam. Wallahi, thousands of years later today, you go to that Makkah and you get every kind of fruit in the world that you want. Every kind of. Go into the market of Makkah and see. You get bananas in Makkah. You get all sorts of fruits in Makkah. Ajeeb. The dua of Khalilullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps it alive till the day that he wants to keep it alive. My brothers and sisters, the purpose, our purpose is to establish the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His obedience, to proclaim his glory, to introduce his slaves to connect with him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Nabi of Allah, and then he said, Rabbi ja'alni muqima salati wa min dhurriyati rabbana wa taqabbal dua. And that's the dua we make even in salah, where he said, oh my Rabb, make me one who establishes a salah. And also from my offspring, oh our Rabb, and accept my dua. Rabbana wa taqabbal dua. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers and sisters, what has happened to us that we claim to follow the same religion, but our way is in the opposite direction? I began this series of lectures by telling you and giving you an analogy, and I said that if you are driving down a four-lane, six-lane divided highway, and you are going in one direction, and in the opposite direction, you see the car of Musa alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, going the motorcade with the angels before and after, and they are going in the opposite direction, and after a while you see the motorcade of Musa alayhi salam also going in the opposite direction on the other side of the road, and after a while you see the motorcade of Isa alayhi salam also going in the opposite direction, and you go further, and you see the motorcade of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam also going in the opposite direction, and you continue in your own direction. My brothers and sisters, I don't think you need me to elaborate where that direction will take you. And remember also, I said on the first day and the first khutbah, that remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made your highway, your side, without exits. There are exits. Exit after exit after exit after exit. 52 exits, 53 exits every year. Every Jummah somebody comes and stands and warns you, take the next exit, take the next exit, take the next exit. Subhanallah. Ramadan, exit after exit. Hajj, exit after exit, but we don't take any of the exits. We should have taken the exit, we should have made a U-turn, and we should have gone on the other side of the road, following in the footsteps of Ibrahim and Musa and Isa and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We should have done that. We do not do that. We continue on our way until we come to the toll gate. And remember, after the toll gate there are no exits. Remember, after the toll gate there are no exits. After the final toll gate of any highway, there is no exit, because now you have come to your destination. My brothers and sisters, that toll gate will come. That toll gate will come, and believe me, Every time the one who comes to the toll gate says, how did it come so suddenly? I never expected it. Nobody expects it. You will not expect it and I will not expect it. But because we don't expect it, it doesn't mean that there is no toll gate. I remind myself and you to beware and to make tawbah and to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always and to stop doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited us from doing. No matter who tells us what. And to start doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has recommended for us. No matter who tells us what. So that inshallah on the day of judgment we will not be ashamed and we will not be punished. And on the day of judgment inshallah we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy and his blessing. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the doors of Jannah for us and to shut the doors of Jahannam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين